Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 26 and 33 through 37. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth. Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth.
You may be seated. I am now the mother of two college students. I know. And in talking to them about their classes, I have discovered that we all have one thing in common: a general dislike for any sort of history class. History to me has always been about memorizing events and dates and names and important documents. And to be honest, memorizing stresses me out. I always preferred classes where I could learn processes or concepts that I could then apply, like math or accounting. And I never felt like history provided practical application beyond that we must know our past so that we don't make the same mistakes in the future, sort of thing. I felt like this about history through all of my years of schooling, in grade school, middle school, and high school, and culminating in my freshman year of college. After that, I never signed up for a history course voluntarily. So imagine how happy I was when I began the coursework that was required of me to be a pastor in the United Methodist Church to see five more history classes staring me in the face. This time it was the history of the church, but there were still all those events and those dates and those names and those documents. Woo-hoo! But a funny thing happened. I had this teacher for three of those classes that showed me that I had put history in way too small of a box. I thought that history was this little thing that had no application to my life and ministry, and he showed me that it was much bigger, that particularly the history of the Methodist movement permeated all of my life, not just my ministry, but my life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that history teacher, he's sitting right over there. He sang our offertory this morning. I thought about that this week as I was studying today's scripture, because what Jesus is doing for his disciples is the same thing that that history teacher did for me. So I'll circle back to that in a minute, but let's look at the scripture for a moment. This morning's scripture is Jesus expanding on a concept that we heard a little bit of at the end of last week's scripture. Last week, we heard Jesus say that to enter the kingdom of heaven, one must have righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, scribes and Pharisees were known to be very strict followers of the law. They very much appeared to be righteous and faithful people. But what Jesus was saying, as we talked about last week, was that we have to be not just better about following the law than the scribes and the Pharisees, but that righteousness is about more than just the details of the law that we are faithful to. It is about the reason that we are seeking to be faithful. I mentioned that Jesus wanted God's people to remember what the purpose of the law was. It was to help them love God with all their heart and all their mind. So how did Jesus help his hearers remember the purpose of the law? And that's what we see today. He expanded it for them. He didn't do away with the law. He didn't rewrite it. Not really. He deepened their understanding of it. So in this reading this morning, and in the verses, you'll notice we omitted some verses in the middle there. And if you go on and read through the end of chapter 5, you'll see Jesus take up six different laws. He takes up six different laws, and then he expands them. And then he applies them to our lives. So let's look at the first one here, murder. He takes up the law. You have heard it said, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. Then he expands it. He shows those who are listening that the law is so much more than that. The heart of the law is more than that. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you're liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you're liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. It's a drastic expansion of the law. You shall not murder is way more than about killing another person. And to be as righteous as Jesus is describing is daunting. And then he goes on and offers practical tips for how to apply this in our real human lives. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there, go and be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or you too might find yourself thrown in prison. Reconciliation. Righteousness plays out in us as we seek to be reconciling people. And Jesus does this same thing again when he takes up laws that deal with adultery and divorce, oaths, fair punishment, and love of neighbor. Each law Jesus takes up expands and gives application for everyday life. The heart of the law should permeate every interaction that we have with one another. One of my study Bibles, I thought, kind of summarized all of what Jesus teaches here in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew like this. It's not enough to avoid killing. We must also avoid anger and hatred. It's not enough to offer regular gifts. We must have right relationships with God and others. It's not enough to avoid adultery. We must keep our hearts from lusting. It's not enough to be legally married. We must live out our marriage commitments. It's not enough to keep a vow. We must avoid casual and irresponsible commitments to God and to each other. It's not enough to seek justice for ourselves. We must show mercy and love to others. In other words, the law is not a set of thou shalt nots that we can carefully avoid, so much as it is a set of concepts that should adjust and inform our attitudes and our behaviors. That is what disciples of Christ, God's people, seekers of the kingdom do. It's written in the book of Jeremiah, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God's people have not just memorized the law in their minds. God's people, Jesus' disciples, have the heart of the law written on their hearts. And just like the history of the church, of the Methodist movement, permeates and informs what I believe and how I minister, the law of my Creator God permeates and informs who I am and how I live. They are both part of the story of God. They are both part of my story. They are part of our story. May God's story continue to be told in and through us all, disciples of Jesus, fearfully and wonderfully made by God and filled with God's Spirit. And may we be righteous people, the righteous people God calls us to be, not just by being legalistic rules followers, but by being loving kingdom seekers with the heart of God within us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the laws that you have given to Moses and the people, the same as have been given to us. We thank you for these laws, for they show us your heart, and they show us your character, and they show us who you are calling us to be. You call us to be different and set apart from those who do not know, who do not have these laws written on their hearts. So, Lord, we ask you to write them on our hearts, so that every interaction we have is informed by them and by you. That we are a loving people seeking to do what you have called us to do. Seeking to follow your way, a particular way. Go with us, Lord, as you promised. That wherever we go, we reflect your light and your love in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.